front of me. You got motion if you own a business. You got motion if your mama out the trenches. You got motion if you in school for business or for dinner. You got motion if you level headed and maintain a good mental. You got motion if you got a car and don't waste your bread on fake offering rentals.
What's good, Motion Crew? It's your girl, Danielle, and welcome to another installment of Millennials in Motion, where we give the real, relatable, and entertaining spill on adulthood from the Black, Gen Z, and Millennial perspective. I'm going to go ahead and let my co-hosts introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the motion.
What's good? It's your boy, J-Main, making sure y'all stay entertained.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Terrain, Mr. Put Your Own Game. What it do?
Okay, guys. I think we should start with the icebreaker. So when we walked in, we was kind of talking about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. And so, I don't know, I'm feeling some type of way because my dude has not asked me to be his Valentine's yet. And so we were kind of discussing, like, if you're in a relationship like this, he have to ask you to be your Valentine? Like, is the girl supposed to ask? Like, how do you guys feel about that?
Personally, I mean, based on how, like, we got to grown accustomed to things, mm-hmm. I feel like traditionally, you know, they should. But at the same time, it's like, bruh, I see it as like me personally, I see it as me asking you to be my girl. You know how I have to ask, why do I have to ask you to be a Valentine? You already mine, you feel me? Like, I'll do all the other special stuff, but I shouldn't have to ask you to be something in order to do something for you.
Okay, that's valid. But it's like, it's not necessarily like, even if you ask, like, obviously, like, if you don't ask, like, you can still do something. But I just think, like, it's just cute. Like, it's just so, like, thoughtful. Like, I don't know.
We were talking about it earlier, so they didn't catch it on recording. But I guess I understand where Danny coming from. But it's, like, the aesthetic of it. I don't really too much care for aesthetics. But yeah, from a female perspective, it's, like you said, it is that cute aesthetic to it. But I'm like, man, like Jermaine said, that's shawty, I'll see you every day. Yeah. That's, we talk every day. I don't think it's a question of if you're going to be my Valentine or not. But
no,
I especially in today's day and age, like, all the situationships, maybe I can't understand why you gotta ask, but I don't really see why you gotta ask for real, for real.
That's fine.
Actually, I just want to get into this one question that's been on my mind all day. Where do you guys see yourself next week? Like, it's crazy on how usually people be like, where do you see yourself next 5 years, next 10 years? But I've just been so focused on now, like, where do you see for yourself in the next week? Like, what's your miniature accomplishments? Or, like, what is your daily routine? Like, what makes you you? Like, what are you stuck on? Because I feel like I just been stuck on straight work mode. Like, I don't make no time for myself at all. Like, I always keep myself busy. And it's weird because I don't like being busy, but I despise being idle. So, like, what do you guys do for your, like, daily routines?
Every day I have, like, a to-do list. So I always, like, make sure I'm trying to, like, at least accomplish it. But for next week, I definitely, like, kind of like you said, like, I'm always, like, doing stuff. Like, I don't really have time for myself. And so I'm trying to also, like, get better about, like, living more so in the moment and, like, accepting, like, where I am right now. Because I'm always thinking, like, okay, like, when I leave J school, like, I want to make sure they remember me. Like, I leave a legacy. Or, and I'm always thinking about the future. Like, okay, I want to get an internship. I need to apply for this. I need to send this email. And so I think for me, like, next week, I want to make sure I'm incorporating living more so in the moment. And, like, yeah, you can complete your to-do list, but it's, like, take time for yourself, too. So I feel like living in the moment and, like, taking time for myself will kind of, like, coincide eventually. But
I agree with both of y'all. It's more in the moment. Like, I live it, like, day by day. You feel me? Like, my schedule and my day be busy as well. Rarely have time for myself, but in that free time, I do just be working on, like, my work. You feel me? Because either it's that, class, work, and other obligations, you feel me, that I'm focusing on. So I really don't have that free time to myself. So looking forward, it's not really like, dang, what am I doing next week? Because I kind of have an idea already of what I'm doing. It's like the same repeating schedule. But more so, in the back of my mind, also, like you said, trying to figure out, like, you know, internships and other things that I need in order to, like, help me, you know, get to where I'm trying to go in life. You feel me? Like, I graduated in the fall, and my mindset of what I want to do in the future has totally changed. Like, I'm broadcast journalism. I was thinking I was going to come in, leave, and be a sports reporter.
Yeah.
But now I want to be a sports psychiatrist. So, like, that path,
that's totally
it's totally different. Yeah. So it's like, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, what can I do to help me get prepared for that? Because once I graduate, I'm going straight into the, you know, get my master's or whatnot.
For sure.
But I know with me having this broadcast journalism background, I don't have all the tools needed or that foundation needed in order to get me to on that psychological side or whatnot in order to be that. So, you know, I'm really trying to think, like, what can I do? Who can I connect with? Like, internships, anything in that, on that field or in that field that I can, you know, tap in to help me.
like get prepared for that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Because I feel like a lot of people, like, I don't know, that's so interesting, like the psychology side of it. I'm curious to see like how that's gonna like be for you. I'm excited. That's cool.
12:35 on a Friday afternoon.
You're not gonna answer your own question?
Oh, what? Oh, I'm tripping, bro. My fault. I feel like I answered already. I just be working, bro. Honestly, I really just doze off. I started thinking about a Pazookie. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, my.
Bro, my fault. It's just, I haven't had a Pazookie like 3 weeks. But
what's
yeah.
Actually, go ahead. No, answer your question.
All right, cool. We're gonna come back to Pazookies then.
Yeah.
I would say it's really just working. If I'm not in class, 9 times out of 10, I'm working on something else with a different organization. Or the only time I do take time for myself is when I'm sitting down and like I'm just contemplating, like, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. Like, I'm actually pretty hard on myself. It's actually not healthy to the point of how hard I am. Like, I'm either in class, on campus, trying to network or something like that. I'm really trying to figure out how to like become a TV star. Like, I want to be in the movies and stuff like that. I want to produce my own films, but then go back and be that same film. Like, I want to be a jack of all trades, multifaceted. Cause like Jermaine said, I came in J school, I wanted to be not even a news reporter. I wanted to be on TV, like maybe like a Stephen A. Smith, almost like that type of sport analyst. But I'm like, you know what? That's not really my forte. Like, as far as I could do, and God willing, if that's what it has to be, so be it. But that's not what I want to do. I want to make films. Like,
yeah.
I want to do something that can not only bring me a good laugh or brings a good smile, but someone else. Like, entertainment is always going to be there. Entertainment is so cool. So that's all I've been focused on. And then, of course, like, you know, you got family, worry about family, things like that. But I just be focused on today, like today, really. Like, what can I do today that's going to make me better for next week, next year, next 5 years? Because college days do swiftly pass. Seriously.
Yeah, I feel like this semester, I'm like, it's already like February. I'm like, this semester is like not almost over, but it's like creeping up. No. Like, it's
literally
getting there. Yeah.
What's today? February 12th?
February 13th.
13th? Okay, cool. On February 10th, somebody was like, bro, you got to watch out, bro. February going to go by fast. I'm like, bro, February 1st was last week.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? It's already zooming by. Like, how are we already at Valentine's Day tomorrow?
And it's only, right, it's 14 more days. Then,
yeah, it's only 28 days.
Exactly.
Literally, yeah.
And it's crazy you say, like, you know, college days swiftly pass because, bro, I remember coming summer, be like,
facts.
Bro, that was 4 years ago for me. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it feel like it was just recent. Like, I just see myself grow throughout the years. Come out, step out my comfort zone, just do things I didn't expect to do. Get a lot of connections that, you know, helped me walk into doors I didn't think I was gonna walk into. And it's just crazy because I remember in the fall, you know, talking to my advisor, he was like, yeah, bro, you graduating next fall. You know, you got a little time on your hand. But bro, it's almost like halfway through the spring. Like, hold it. In the summer, it's gonna fly by like always, you feel me? So it's like, in my eyes, bro, it's already fall. Like,
yeah, essentially.
My time up here, you feel me? So,
yeah. I don't know. I feel like because I transferred last semester, like, last semester went by really, really quick, but I'm already like, wow, like, I can already see like ways, like you said, like with connections and stuff, like different opportunities, like just being here within like a couple months. And then, like, I don't know, I feel like I've already like grown a little bit, like, and seen like certain aspects of me like change. So, yeah, it's going by quick though, like super, super quick. Like, I got here in August, blinked, and it was February. So,
you know, I want to give you your round of applause because, in relation to the first time meeting you, what it was like fall?
Yeah.
Like maybe October.
I think,
something,
yeah,
because
we all did like one.
Yeah, we did one quick one. And you're already here being like head MC. Feel me? Like, that's a round of applause. Like, that's really a pat on the back, to say the least. You feel me? Like,
it's highly appreciated.
Some people cannot step out their shell. You and Shael, like, y'all know, y'all transferred in here. Y'all still come in. Y'all do y'all things. It's one thing to already be at a disadvantage for being so late in the game, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But then to be a woman doing it, it's like, come on, bro. Like, a lot of girls, they would have just found their way, like, found a little corner, found a little niche in one little spot. But you actually trying to grow and expand. So, I really commend that, honestly. Like, seriously, bro.
Hey, shout out all the J school baddies. You feel me?
Hey, we gonna find a name for the J school dudes though. I don't like J school baddies.
It's okay, y'all can stay.
No. We can't be no J school baddies. We gotta be. I don't know. J school motion poppers. I don't know. Figure something out.
I don't know, bro.
J school poppers. That's cute. J school baddies and J school poppers. I don't know though, cause poppers could be like.
Yeah. We gonna move away from poppers. Maybe like J school
like stunners or something.
Stunners. Yeah, okay. J school stunners. You
that's
be like,
actually cute.
That might be the new one for the dudes.
I do like that.
Like, why you call me a J school baddie, Shawty? I'm a young man. You feel me, like,
bro? Somebody asked that. Like, what do we call ourselves? Like, I'm like,
I was like, look, I'd be like, I'm in J school,
bro. I'm a journalistic young man. You feel me?
I don't be much to it.
Are both y'all broadcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, by university standards, we're both journalism now.
Oh, yeah, they did. That is true, yeah.
I wonder why they changed the name. That's crazy. Like, they're really consolidating a lot of these majors.
Yeah.
I heard psychology is next on the board.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I
crazy.
Heard too.
That's crazy. That's actually a huge school.
What are they thinking about doing, though?
I don't know. I just they're trying to just, like, make it into, like, I don't know if it's, like, different sectors or, like you said, trying to get rid of it. But I don't really get it because it's, like, journalism and broadcast are, like, they're separate. Like, they're, you still, like, reporting and, like, getting information to write, but it's, like, it's different. Like, it's not, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, I feel like they should still be separate.
What I like about broadcast journalism, though, hopefully they don't change the curriculum due to change the name. Because if you're broadcast journalism, you still get that chance to not only know how to be a news reporter and be on the TV, but we're still taught, like, in class with use informational resources. You're taught how to be an investigative journalist. Like, you're not confined to just being one side of the camera or one side of journalism. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool to me, honestly. Hopefully they don't change it up like that. I think it's just a name change thing. I wasn't too much into doing the research on it only because I just seen it as they just took the broadcast off.
Yeah.
And if we're being quite frank, when I introduce myself anyways, I usually don't even say the broadcast part.
You just say journal.
Yeah, it just gets to a big old tongue twister. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. People ask me, I'll be like, oh, like PR. And they're like, look at me like I'm crazy. And then I'll be like, public relations.
What about AJ?
And I don't know why they always think it's like some type of like SBI major, and I'm like, no, like I'm literally in J school. And they're like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, brother,
that's a big like problem at FAMU too. Everyone's like, Terrain, I thought you were in SBI. I said, you only said that because I wear a suit every day. Like, yeah, you never see me in SBI.
I've never been over there.
I haven't taken not one crazy mathematics class, none of that business calc. Like, that's actually crazy. But I would say, moving on to our first question, what was it again? It was
so one of them is relationship changes with parents transitioning into adulthood.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I think I could start off with that.
Yeah.
With me, I know, like, it's like a chilling moment, at least for myself. Like, growing up, not saying like my parents were like over authoritative or stuff like that, but like I just genuinely like in fear of my parents. Like, you don't go against mom, you definitely don't go against dad. You feel me? Like, that's just how I was raised. Like, it was just a respect thing. So coming of age, like when they make certain jokes with me, I'm like, hold on, dad, like remember, I'm not one of your little friends. You feel me? Like I gotta stay in the child's place. And like, like, bro, what you talking about? Like, it's just weird on how much they, I guess it's like a respect thing of like coming into age, but it still catches me off guard, especially because like I'm Jamaican too. So my dad, he grew up in America, so I call him American. He don't really like that, but it is what it is. Like, he's like a regular city dude from Miami, but mom, she didn't come to America since she was 22. So it's like both spectrums of it. Like, the way you look at it, it's like you just can't pass your place. And certain jokes, if I made it when we was like 14, 15, they wouldn't have laughed. Now I'm 21, they like laughing and they kiki-ki, and I'm like, yo, this is kind of weird.
For me, you know, I grew up with a single parent, just my mom. And I commend her for like all the sacrifices and whatnot she made in order to raise.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah, me and my two other siblings, you feel me? But it was that, like, that mindset that, like, you know, she's doing a lot for us, so like, let's show her, you know, respect. Let's make sure that we're doing everything she asks of us, and, you know, make her proud or whatnot. But it also, at that young age, it was things I didn't want to do. I feel as if did not benefit me in different ways or in a way that would help me get where I'm trying to go. So it was like, I didn't want to do it, but I did it because she asked me. Like, that's the, you know, the least thing I can do. But as I got older, you know, I started to be more transparent with her, even though, yeah, you know, this may or may not benefit me, or this is something that she may want me to do or may not want me to do. I'm gonna tell it straight up, like, bro, this is what I want to do. You know, it's time for me to make my own decisions. I understand that, you know, you have my best interests at heart, but you don't always know my interests. So it's important for me to communicate that with her, so that way she'll understand where I'm coming from and how I'm trying to navigate.
And my boy done finally experienced free will, huh?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I feel like kind of like both y'all's points to like Jermaine was saying, like, there are certain things like my mom would have me do, and I'm like, damn, like, I don't really feel like doing this. But it's like, you know, in hindsight, it's like, okay. And then like with Terrain, like you said, like certain jokes or like conversations like me and my dad or my mom will have, and I'm like, yeah, like you weren't going for this when I was younger. But I will say, it's just like we've just like grown. Like, we have like different conversations now. Like, that's literally like one of the biggest thing. And it's like, wow, like, I don't know, like as you just get older and you just have different conversations, and it's natural, but it's like I don't know, it's just certain things that are just kind of like, wow, like you really would not go for this. I lost my train of thought, y'all. I'm trying to get it back. I forgot.
So with that being said, what are some things that y'all didn't want to do, but y'all just, you know, sucked it up and did it anyways, you feel me?
My dad was always like big on me saving. I was young, like, what do I need to save for? Like, I'm not gonna save. But now, like, having a car and like different things, I'm realizing like, oh, that's like super important. Because at the drop of a dime, that battery, or you know, like something go happen and it's like you need to keep it. So that's something like I've been doing for a couple years now. But that's like one of the main things where I was like, I'm not saving my money. Like, I could die tomorrow, and then, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was like the same thing for me, honestly. Like, like I said, my mom had me involved in a lot of stuff, like whether it was sports, you know, public speaking and stuff like that. So I used to compete in a lot of like oratorical contests and all types of other stuff, or you know, just just winning money and stuff like that, or just making money. Like even when I got my first job, I was like, what, 14, 15? Working for the Boys and Girls Club. I'm mentoring kids, and I still do to this day as a youth development professional for Boys and Girls Club. But you know, I'm mentoring kids while I still need to be the mentor. So it was like, okay, but that was my first time. Like, I didn't really have it growing up, so when I started getting money, bro, I was like really just like splurging. Like, I was spending it, you feel me? And I wish I would have just, you know, listened and try to you know, put a certain amount to the side or whatnot, just really invest for real.
Yeah,
because now I look back and think about all the stuff I brought. Like, it's like I didn't need that stuff. It was a want. That's something I learned, bro. You gotta understand when it's a want and a need. And with that being said, understand when you should or should like get it. You feel me?
Yeah.
It's a lot of time you know you don't got it, but you still trying to get something because it's like, ah, what if the price go up? Or everybody else got it, or like, bro, I just need that. You feel me? But to understand, like I said, to understand your wants and needs is something that's really important. It takes you long ways. That's something I had to learn.
There's definitely like a like discipline in that that'll like take you a long way too, like even past just like going like wants and needs.
That's crazy. I didn't have what y'all talking about. Like, y'all talk about saving and all that. Like, my parents, they did not. Well, they taught me financial literacy, of course, to the best extent that they could. But the way they raised me, it was on some, you got McDonald's money. You got X, Y, and Z money. And, like, I just got tired of them asking me if I got the money for it. So I just figured out a way to get the money for it. So, like, even not to this day, like, you can ask anybody that knows my mom, anybody that knows my dad. Like, they actually go out there and they hustle. Like, everybody in my family, they go up and they get their money. So, like, it's just a thing with me. Like, I think that also plays a part why I can't sit still. Like, I genuinely have to be doing something. At my mom's house, if you sleep past 9 a.m., you're automatically lazy. Like, I don't know if it's a Jamaican thing. Like, you just, wake up. Y'all sleep, the day away. I'm like, mom, like, it's 9:30. What do you mean I'm sleeping the day away? Like, can the sun rise? You feel me, bro? Like, the sun ain't even set. It didn't even warm up all the way. But, like, that's just really how I was raised. So, like, nah, even to this day, I don't like asking nobody for none. Like, my dad had to fuss me out the other day because I caught a flat. So, I caught a flat tire Friday. Kid you not. I didn't tell them I had a flat tire until Monday. But I was a tripper because, for one, I don't go nowhere anyways. If I want to go somewhere, I'm gonna walk over there. I'm gonna find me some way to get me some food, some type of refreshments, all of that. So now my dad fussed me out. He like, oh, you knew you had the flat, you ain't said. I'm like, look, bro, I got this. I changed the spare tire myself. He said, yeah, you're a real man. I said, yeah, I know you. You feel me? Like, I didn't even want to ask him. He's like, I'm gonna send you some money. He's like, nah, it's good. I figure out. I'm gonna send you some money. I'm like, all right, bro. Like, that's how I was raised. Cause, and it's funny because they get mad at me for not wanting to ask for help. And I'm like, bro, we wasn't raised that, so it's like, look, either you got it or you don't, and if you don't got it, you better figure out a way to find it. You feel me? Like, that's just how I was. That's how my people was. Is how they had me. So all the saving, like, now they trying to get me to start saving, but it's like, I'll make this money back somehow, some way. Like, maybe next week we'll $300 just get magically put in my pocket. We'll figure out a way to do this. You feel me?
Yeah,
it's kind of the same thing along the lines of the same thing right now for me. It's a lot of family members that I talk to you, but it's not as I talk to them, but it's not as often I talk to certain ones. And it's like, always, anytime I see them, it's more so like, oh, why you don't talk to me? You know, if you need something, like, I can help you and do this and do that. But then, like, it's the mindset, like, bro, if I reach out to you, it's not genuine. Because it's like, bro, I'm reaching out to you for something. And I feel like I'm not going to, if that's how it's going to be, I'm not going to reach out to you in that manner. You feel me? If I see you, I talk to you,
It's just transactional.
Really, if you really wanted to talk to me,
you would reach out.
You can reach out to me. You feel me? I'm not going to come asking you for things, especially if I don't even speak to you on a regular basis. So it's like, you know, I grew customs is just, bro, just like you said, finding a way. I'm not gonna keep asking people stuff, and it's like, bro, why you getting upset? Cause I'm not asking you for help, bro. Yeah. I say I want to be a man. I understand as a man, it's not a problem. Well, it shouldn't be a problem with you, you know, reaching out for help or whatnot. Yeah. But I feel like, bro, the struggle is what helped you grow.
For sure. Yeah.
So, you know, I embrace the struggle because, like, struggling helped me get to where I am or be who I am to this day.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of lessons in struggle that, like, carry. Ryan, you want to let the people know you're here?
Sure. What's going on? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another installment of Millennials in Motion. It's your boy, Ryan, coming from the, my bad. My little out of breath. Coming from the only place where we drink Java, I-95, Broward County, for the curl. Good to be here. My apologies for my tardiness. We had some difficulties behind the scenes, but appreciate y'all for holding it down. Let's pick up where y'all was going from. So I know y'all was talking about parents. What aspect were y'all kind of just talking from right now?
So we picked up on the topic of relationship changes with parents transitioning into adulthood. We started with that and then just kind of like kept the conversation going.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say.
Oh.
I initially kind of thought of the idea because I think within like the last, I want to say within the last year or two of myself, I kind of really been thinking more so like, I think now that I'm really truly about being my own man in my own world, it's kind of like your relationship with your parents is not like how you were when you were 2, 4, 5, 6 years old and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of the dynamic from what I heard you guys were saying as far as like things being transactional and kind of just the way that things may have connected or not connected within y'all relationship with y'all parents, but just people our age, I think it's kind of interesting seeing like kind of like as we matriculate to kind of like how they were possibly when they were young adults, or kind of like a lot of us now in our age, we're seeing a lot more folks, you know, they're starting to have their own kids, it's down to third, so it's like they don't really think about the stuff that their parents were thinking about where coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So they start kids, so kind of from based off of what y'all already said beforehand, pretty much, what is y'all personal relationships to y'all on discretion with y'all parents? Like, what's y'all thought process with, like, how do you think of connecting with them now versus when y'all were actually just a kid?
So earlier I was like talking, but I lost my train of thought. But when you started like talking, I remembered it. So one thing that I'm realizing, like as I've grown up like, with my relationship with my parents, as I'm getting older, is I'm giving them grace for who they are.
Mm-hmm,
Because I'm realizing that this is their first time, even though they have, because like it's their first time being a parent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like, yes, that's your mom and that's your dad, but it's like, you're still just two human beings. And so as I'm getting older, like when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, like they're so mean. I don't know why they do this and why they do that. But like I said, like, I'm getting older and my like mindset is changing and I'm like realizing different things. It's like I'm giving them more grace for like some of the things that may have happened, because it's like, wow, like they're learning just as much as I am. Mm-hmm. It's still their first time living, like,
yeah.
You only get like, it's like their first time. So that's one thing I would add on from what I was saying earlier, is that I'm giving them more grace for who they are.
So my question to that then is like, at what point do you give your parents grace versus do you establish accountability as far as like, this is a problem or this is a thing that I've kind of encountered kind of within our relationship, and kind of I want to address to you to kind of establish like what the solution could be and how we can move forward from it. But kind of how do you kind of differentiate that now as an adult, where it's like, I give you grace, of course, but I still want to also consider the fact of like, this is still a thing and how it kind of impacted me, how our relationship or how I look at it. So kind of what is your thought process with that?
So there's definitely things that have like, don't get me wrong, I had a great life. Like, mm-hmm. You might listen to this, mom, you was good, dad, you was good. But no, like I've had a great life, but there are like certain things that have happened that still affect me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like with like the way I'll act, or like sometimes like how I think about certain things. And so things like that, like things that are still having a lasting effect on me, that's when I'll kind of like step in or have that conversation and be like, hey, like, you know, when this happened when I was younger, or the certain thing that you might still do now, is like, that's a conversation where it's still a graceful conversation, but it's like, I'm not going to give you grace for that. Like,
right.
We're going to talk about it, and I want you to be able to take accountability, or if there was fault in me, like how I responded or whatever the case, like I'm going to take accountability too, so that way we can make sure like it's not going to keep happening, so that way I can lift up whatever burden or whatever heaviness that I'm feeling because of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of differentiate it. Like, if it's still affecting me to this day, then it needs to be like some accountability taken.
Gotcha.
For me, I think it's kind of different. Let me see. My dad, me and my dad always butt heads.
Yeah. And I remember growing up, like, I used to always tell my mom, like, I'm nothing like my dad. He be tripping, da 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 da. And my mom would, like, give me, like, the crazy side of, like, you feel me? Like,
would your people's, like, kind of say, like, as you got older, like, oh, you look just like your daddy?
Oh, yeah, they never did that. Well, I don't know. It's weird because some people, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I could tell you that's your dad. I'm like, yeah. Well, clearly you haven't seen me stand next to my mom then. Like, you must not know my mom. And they don't be knowing my mom. You feel me? Oh, yeah. Somebody on my Instagram live just said, like, it's a difference when you're an only child, too. It is because my friends that are only child, like, they're only kids for their parents, they don't relate to me at all, dang near, like, every time, because I'm 6 out of 7. And then what made it worse about me being the 6th child out of 7 is not only am I one of the last two on the back end, but, like, my dad is older. Like, my dad is way older. So I grew up, my parental figures, my mom, my dad, and my older siblings, like my 5 older siblings, but mostly my 2 older brothers. And you can see the clear difference in the parenting. Like, they'd be like, oh, dad got easy on you. I'm like, if this is easy, I don't want to know what y'all was going through. Y'all grew up, dude. Like, I always butt heads with them. And like, they grew up in the 90s. My siblings grew up in the 90s, latest, early 2000s. Complete different era. Feel me? Complete different era. So I remember, like, I was like, maybe like 17, 18. And then my second oldest brother, Terrence, he put it in perspective. He was like, bro, you got to think, the way that dad was raised is a complete difference from the way that he raised us. Because not only was, like you said, that was his first time being a parent, but he had to take what he learned from us and apply it to y'all.
Yeah.
But then he can't too much steer away from the principles he's trying to instill in you, especially as a man. So like, now growing up, like, I see it and I respect my dad for it. Like, yeah, he could have handled certain things better, but I see what he was trying to do. You feel me?
The,
like,
foundation was still there.
You feel me? It was right there. And it, like, it always made me think of this one post I seen on Instagram, like, maybe 4 years ago. Like, if y'all know, I like taking in a lot of information, just holding it. And it said, if you raise your kids, you can spoil your grandchildren. But if you spoil your kids, you're going to have to raise your grandkids. And I said, yo.
Like, because your kids not going to raise your grandkids.
Exactly. They're going to be stuck in their ways. They don't gonna have that foundation, that principle that someone needs to not only be a good parent, but be a good person. And I see that, especially in today's generation where, you know, no disrespect to young moms, ain't like that, but some young moms are young moms because they didn't have no guidance. They didn't have their parents be raised by their parents. Yeah. They got raised with their grandmas, their grandpas, or they didn't have a family at all. They didn't have nothing, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good translation, because shout out old boy, shout out my mama. Like, we butt heads. I'm like, okay, cool, I understand. Like, yeah, I get it now. Like, even now, I just let them be. Sometimes you got to let somebody spaz on you so you can understand the whole lesson behind the method.
Because it comes from a good place. It's like, it comes from intention. It's not like they just trying to be green to you.
You feel me?
Yeah. But you made a good point, too, because I think, honestly, I won't say this. Well, I'm obviously not a parent. I'm only 23. But I would say a lot of young adults now who are parents, I think a lot of issues that kind of falls in line with that parent-to-child connection is that the parent, they only have lived a certain amount of life too. So it's like they foundation not even solid, to the point to where it's like, yes, you're responsible for this child. You're gonna make sure they eat, you're gonna make sure they sleep, you're gonna make sure they get all their cares, all their meds, everything they need to be good and healthy. But outside of that, just as far as the connection necessary for the kid to grow and thrive how they should, I feel like outside of them not just only maybe they didn't receive that, they haven't lived enough life to experience, okay, this is what I would want to instill in my child. Because you're still trying to figure out what are you trying to instill into yourself.
Facts.
Not only as a mom, but just as like as an adult in this space, in this world and whatnot, you know?
That's a good point. So with that being said, do you think that it's possible for a young adult to be a great parent?
I do think so.
I think it's possible. I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying, like how they, like their parents were for them. I think that has a lot to it. Even like if you have like a single parent, like you can still, you know, make sure your child has like what they need. But the contradictory is like,
Jamal, what's your take?
I was just saying, I think so. To go back to the original question about like my upbringing with my parents, I would say that I had a good relationship with my parents growing up. I will say, because I'm the oldest, I've had it the hardest. And I definitely see a switch in how my brothers are being, like, you know, raised, and like the things that they can get away with that I didn't get away with. Like, a lot of the stuff that they do now, I would have gotten the game taken, my phone taken, like the Wi-Fi cut off, like it. So I tell them a lot of times that, you know, y'all do have it easy. And to what Terrain was saying, you know, it is definitely, can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's definitely one of those things that over time, they kind of learn what to do and what not to do. And to what Danielle was saying, it's their first time being a parent too, to me. And for me, it was their first time being a parent overall. So, you know, I definitely give them a lot of grace. And honestly, I applaud them because, not to toot my own horn, but I think I turned out pretty well.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? So, you know, and then, and that's something also that other parents and other adults tell them all the time is, you know, like, your sons are so nice, they're so well-spoken, they're so well-mannered, X, Y, and Z. So I know that they take a lot of pride in that, but there's definitely moments where I've brought to my mom's attention, like, hey, I was just thinking, like, I remember this one situation back in yada 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 where this happened, and she'll be like, what? I never did that.
Oh,
and
I'm facts. Like, oh, facts.
I'm like, mom.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Mom,
oh, don't get this.
So I'm lying on you right now. So I just made this up. Like, come on. But you know, it's one of those things that I realized that a lot of times they're just moving off of reaction and off of emotion. She may have had a bad day. She may have gone through something at work, or, you know, just the pressures of being an adult, especially an adult that's doing this for the first time. And my mom had me pretty young, so she had to figure a lot out by herself. So I give her a lot of grace for that. But to the second part about, do I think young adults can be good parents? I definitely do think we can be good parents. And I'll say, I realized, and I don't know, maybe this just may be what social media is portraying, but a lot of the adults now are trying to switch to more of a softer parenting approach. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we as the generation that has had our whole entire lives documented almost with, like, you know, cameras, pictures, and just social media, stuff like that, we've been able to see the goods and the bads of being a parent. So we're kind of able to pick up on what we know we want to implement, what we don't, you know, kind of like we just have more information to go based off of. In the past, I think previous parents didn't necessarily have all this access to see how other people are raising their kids or other things that they kind of want to put into play. But we actually have that access to see, like, oh, that's a good idea. We can do this. We should do that. I'll try this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I see.
Very fair. I feel like that was a good discussion on that topic. So I kind of want to get into the next topic. Again, as y'all know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Oh, brother.
So, Terrain, do you want to lead us with the next topic?
So the next topic is, how do you know when it's time to settle down? I think that kind of ties back into what me and Danielle and Jermaine were talking about earlier, about how I was talking to Mr. Vince that owns the Vince store in the mall, the formal store, and he was telling me, like, I asked him, what do you think is the key of why you and your wife have been together for the 30 plus years you guys have been together? And he was said, look, son, men were on Mars. Women, they're on Venus. So, you know what, that makes sense. Like, just a different interpretation. So it's like, especially in today's day and age, I'm 21. Like, I can't see myself settling down with nobody right now, only due to the mere fact, like, it's so much more stuff to do. Not even, like, you know, enjoying or entertaining other relationships, but simply, like, I'm not where I need to be at in life. So how do you know when she's the one? How do you know when you can incorporate someone, or you, how you can put him into your life? You feel me? Like, you still gotta make time for them. So how do you know when it's that time?
I feel like, even though people say, oh, I knew at this moment, or when I first saw it, stuff like that, it's never like you actually knew, but it's more so of a gut feeling, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You don't actually know. You just feel as if this is the right one. So you're going to, you know, approach that person in that manner. Just see how things go. And even with that being said, bro, people still don't be confident. Like, people always have, you know, thoughts in the back of their mind of like, oh, what if she do this and what if she do that? I don't think we're doing good at this moment, or we are doing good. You feel me? It's always going to be something in the back of a person's mind. They're not 100% sure or know exactly, you know, this is what I should be, this is who I should be with or not. You feel me? It's just off of feelings. Like, I feel like a lot of stuff we do and a lot of ways we react to things is based off feelings.
Yeah.
So, like, Jermaine, you ain't never been starstruck?
Yeah, bro. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so what, that was the moment right there. Like, oh yeah, I could see myself with her.
But that's just like
like I said, like, I don't know her. It's just like, that's how I'm feeling in the moment.
In the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, off first impression, like, it sounds good or it feels good right now, but I really don't know yet. Yeah.
So he's saying, like, even when you felt that, when did you feel like, after that, when did you feel like, I wanted to settle, I wanted to commit?
I feel like it's like a prolonged feeling.
Yeah, like, it's a prolonged feeling until, like, y'all actually committed. And even when, like, bro, like I said, it's always going to be thoughts in the back of your mind. Like, relationships are not perfect, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You just try to navigate through it.
Yeah. So do y'all think that people, they try to make the picture too perfect to, as an excuse to be afraid of moving into commitment?
Hi, everyone. This is Bree. I think in this day and age that people, they try to make it perfect, but ultimately, it's not gonna always be perfect. But I think something that I struggle with is trying to find the fine line between when do you need to step away or when do you need to just like stay and fight for it. Mm-hmm. Because they tell you, oh, we're young, you don't need to fight for nothing. If it's not going right, leave. But then the other people are like, oh, but that's not how relationships work. You're supposed to stay through it and figure things out. So I think my main concern is just trying to figure out how to balance knowing when it's time to go.
It's crazy because, like, I feel like I was in the same situation, bro, for a long time. You feel me? I was in a situation to where, like, bro, I knew it wasn't perfect. I knew things wasn't going the way, you know, I expected it to be. Like, mm-hmm. you said, bro, it's a feeling, but you mess around and find out. You feel
me? Yeah.
So, like, I knew it wasn't going the way that I wanted to or expected it to go. But at the same time, because I was so, I guess you could say, wild or, like, you know, wanted that for real. What felt as if I wanted that for real, that I stayed through it all, mm-hmm. thinking like, oh, this is the one, you feel me? But at the same time, I feel like, bro, you just never know. If it's the one, it's just gonna happen, bro.
Yeah.
It's just gonna happen. I feel like
you gotta have discernment though, you know. Yeah. You can't be delusional. You gotta make sure you mindful at a point where, like,
I feel like
if this is love, this is love. If this is something else, then.
But sometimes you don't know until it's too late.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly.
What do you mean you don't know? Like,
you don't know that it's not really love. And you can be in love with multiple people, not at the same time. Well,
that is
hopefully not at the same time, but.
That is real.
You can be in love with multiple people at the same time.
Well, what I was trying to say was more so you can be in love more than once. You can fall in love more than once. And I think that's something that I was learning as I'm moving through my adulthood. Because I had, like, the high school boyfriend, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm in love. Mm-hmm. But then I got the college boyfriend, and it was like, oh, I'm really in love. And now it's like, maybe I wasn't in love. But
I
think you were, you know?
I learned to what you were saying, to, like, not undermine your experiences in the past because of how young you were. If it felt like love to you, it was love. It may not have been as serious and held as much consequences because of how young we were.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can vividly remember you changing your thought process or the actions that you would do or just the way that you felt when you were around that certain person, it was love. Like, you don't have to undermine it or belittle it just because you were young or people tell you that you can't be in love at a young age or it's puppy love or whatever the case is. At the end of the day, you felt something towards that person. It may not have been big enough to the point to where it's comparable to the person that you're messing with now. Yeah. But that's not to say that it wasn't real or you didn't feel anything. It didn't have an effect on you. So,
and I'm also a big advocate for learning something out of each relationship and taking it to the next one so that the next one is not a repeat of the last relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Every relationship I get into, I want it to be different. I want it to be more advanced, more evolved. So the next one I'm in a relationship with, he's going to be my husband.
And that's the thing. It's crazy you say that because I was about to ask a question. Like, if you go into the relationship with expectations or be like, oh, this is what they're going to be, not knowing that this is going to be that person or not. Mm-hmm. I feel like at that point, although it's you being genuine to, you know, a certain extent with certain aspects of, like, your intentions or whatnot, at the same time, like, I feel like if you just go into it, you know, freely without that on your mind, then things will really flow. If you thinking, oh, he's going to be my husband, you're going to treat him as such or have expectation of a husband while trying to get there. I feel like when y'all first, like, if you say, oh, I see love at first sight, whatnot, and this is what I want out of it, I feel like that really takes away from that, you know, you growing together or whatnot, because like I have this such high expectation for you, mm-hmm. and if I don't see you as this person at this moment, then what is this? You feel me?
But to what you're saying, I think the biggest thing that, like, especially when people, they intermingle with each other, I don't think intentions are established right then and there as they're getting to know each other. Like, yeah, they're getting to know each other, but, you know, I feel like sometimes people beat around the bush as far as, like, I'm not trying to really be in a relationship. My goal as far as me being in a relationship, I'm not trying to be married right now. I'm not looking to get married. I'm just looking to explore. I'm looking to really just understand more so what do I like or what do I don't like, or more so like this is just what my thought process of a relationship is. And because sometimes that might be two different frequencies, like two different ideas, then that's where the clash kind of comes in hand, because like you might want this, that, and the third, but your old girl, she's saying, nah, but like I was expecting this, I was expecting you to do this, that, and a third. But I think people, they just don't really do a good job of kind of establishing that intention of like what they're actually looking for.
Right. So with that being said, I was gonna ask, do you think positive intentions can have negative outcomes?
Facts again.
Yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Can y'all give an example?
I mean, for me, like, the first thing when that came to my head, we said that, like, imagine you treating her the best way you could, and then say she's just like, you're too good for me. Or, like, even for girls, you doing the best thing. Like, maybe, God forbid, hopefully you find your husband, you feel me, Bree? But, like, say Bree, the next dude she meet, and she said, the next dude I meet gonna be my husband. She treating him, she trying to be, like, the woman, the wife before y'all even get the title, the ring, all of that. And he's like, I ain't gonna lie, little shawty. Like,
it ain't. Yeah.
You feel me? Like, it's just not clicking. It's just not hitting, bro. Like, I think that's really where that comes from. And I think that really stems from, like, being tired of love, at least for some people. I know for me, last girl I talked to, I'm like, look, I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm not trying to think too much into it. I'm right. trying to figure out, like, if we vibe right now or not. And she was pissed. She was like, oh, you're not intentional. You're not. I'm like, look, I done tried this game before.
Yeah.
I keep losing the game. So right now, we just have to go on sandbox mode, and we just go rock out. You feel me?
Yeah.
So
that's, and she can't be mad that, like, this is where you're at. This is what you're not into. This is what you like, and this is what you don't like.
Right. Hit it off. That's the problem. People come in thinking too far ahead.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, you can't, you know, expect me to be your husband, you know, in that moment. Like, let's work there. Like, don't see me as that, because I'm not. You feel me? Let me work while you're working as well. Let's do this together. Let's make it there together. But don't put me on that pedestal as, bro, you're my husband, and I'm not. You feel me? Like, let's work in a moment.
But you can't be mad at them for having at least the intention that, like, this is the goal.
Yeah, that can be the goal.
But just don't from the jump. Yeah,
you completed that goal already.
It gotta be like building blocks to it. What you saying?
Right. For a man, what's the difference between a boyfriend and a husband?
Oh, it's a huge difference.
The responsibilities in everything, it's a lot.
And the commitment. I feel like it's the same thing for both.
I'm really asking.
Okay. For me, if I'm a boyfriend, I'm not. If I'm a husband, any financial responsibility that pertains to your everyday life feels like it's my responsibility. So, for example, let's say your car, I don't know, needs an oil change or something. If I'm a boyfriend, I'm not necessarily obligated to take care of that. It will be a nice gesture. But if I'm your husband, that's definitely my priority. Like, I have to get that done. You know what I'm saying? In my mind, at least. That's, like, one thing. But it's just the amount of responsibilities and priorities and stuff like that. I don't know.
I think for me, the biggest thing is the boundaries. Like, I think how I look at it, and not, I don't really like categorizing, like, okay, this is dating, this is we're exclusive, like, kind of, because everybody's definitions of those different things are just different all around depending on who you are. But generally, depending on the status of where my relationship is, that's kind of to how I think that's the accessibility that I'm giving to you and the accessibility you're giving to me as far as, like, where we're agreeing with within our relationship to kind of intertwine with each other versus where, okay, we're not going to pass these lines. Versus when I'm married, there's no boundaries at this point. You know what I'm saying? At this point, this is kind of like more so because this is a forever thing, or it's supposed to be. So I'm not rushing anything as far as, like, we got to have kids at this point, or we got to have this together by this point in time. But we kind of have to have the intentions of, like, now that we're letting go of all the boundaries to where we're kind of intertwining ourselves as one within this relationship called marriage, it's like now you kind of have to have that free-mindedness as a man. Like, you got to be willing to sacrifice a lot more, give up a lot more now that you don't really have those same boundaries, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wouldn't necessarily move in with nobody before I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that...
That's just one of your boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I think that... Because I'm going to have a big wedding, so probably like a year to plan it. For that year that we are engaged, I would move in with them to see, like, you know. And then we lay the foundation.
Y'all literally said last week,
I said
I'm not moving in with no man.
Oh, that is.
You did?
Yeah, you can.
Said, hold the clip up. Got it on 4K.
I wanted to kind of go back to what Jermaine was saying, because I know, like, the question was, like, when do you know when it's time to commit? And I kind of like what you were saying, like, how, like, if you're like, oh, like, this is going to be my husband, like, you're working towards it. And I feel like once we get to the point that we can agree we're going to work towards it, I feel like that's when I know I'm ready to commit. Because it's like, okay, like, you're showing you have, like, the same interests, and we're both, like, collectively going to work towards, like, building that relationship that we want. So, yeah, with that, guys, y'all know the drill, what we do at the end. So I kind of wanted to go around and get everybody's shout outs for this episode. I want to shout out Millennials in Motion. This was my first episode emceeing, guys. So yeah, I just love Millennials in Motion. I love all you guys. I thank y'all for the opportunity. So shout out to us.
I want to shout out your mama. Girls Club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, this week, you know, annually I go to the Capitol for Days of Advocacy for the Boys and Girls Club on behalf of them, for, back home, whatnot, you know.
And your kids.
Yeah, trying to make sure we get the resources and stuff they need. Make sure, you know, get new spaces built and stuff like that. So it's always, you know, something that, you know, makes me proud to see that I'm doing something that can, you know, help out people who's was once in the same shoes I was in at one point in my life. So yeah, shout out to them. And yeah, lastly, shout out to my mom.
Shout out, moms. I'm gonna start my shout off with the beta new chapter Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, man. Juju joint on the way, man. Y'all come get y'all tickets, man. But for real, shout out my family. Shout out the whole Millennials in Motion podcast, bro. It's a great crew we got on our hands. We in good hands, bro.
Tight.
I'm going to say shout out to all... Did I jump in?
No, go ahead. You good.
Sorry. Shout out to all the people that are campaigning. I think that is very... What's the word? You have to have a lot of confidence and...
school spirit. And courage.
Courage. There we go. Courage to do that. So shout out y'all. I hope everyone's speech goes well at Set Friday today. And yeah, may the best student leaders win.
Shout out God. Shout out the Motion Movers. Shout out the Motion Crew. Shout out it just being Friday. You know, this was a good week, but kind of a long week. You know what I'm saying? So Friday, it always feels good. Like, everything just feels like it's a lot more flowing. You know, you kind of get to pace yourself, get to relax, get the vibe, kind of get to hang out with the homies just a little bit more. You don't got to worry about all these other different obligations as much as, like, everything is just a vibe on Friday. So shout out to being Friday. Shout out to Valentine's Day coming up pretty soon, man. Yeah, that's all I got.
I want to give a shout out to Ryan. So if y'all don't know, me and Bree were late today because my car actually ran out of gas. But Ryan,
in the middle of the street,
and you know, Ryan pulled through and scooped me real quick so I could go to the gas station.
It's all love, bro. It's all good. Bro. I'm glad your car good. I know how the car struggle is, bro. It's the small.
Yeah, bro. Shout out to the Motion Movers. Appreciate y'all for supporting us, tapping in for every episode as we, you know, go on. What is it, season 4?
Come up on the come up.
Yeah, shout out to the crew. You know, like Danielle said, I think we have a great group. Like Terrain said, you know, we mesh very well, and this is always a good time. I like recording and coming together and hanging out with y'all. So hopefully we can hang out this weekend. I know how y'all like to get, though.
Ooh.
But yeah.
All right.
Was that shade, brother?
I thought we was too,
but you never know.
He just speaking negativity in the area. We finna hang out, bro.
I don't even want to hang out for real, bro.
Oh, and love grows on trees.
All right, next.
Yeah. Oh, this is a BBO.
Shout out. Oh.
It's a FSU BBO.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Miss Sarah, what's going on?
Hey, you guys. Hi, Motion Movers, if you're listening. Okay, shout out the TV20 newscast because we literally just did our first newscast live show. And I'm in here like, oh my gosh, it feels so great. But
what was your role?
What'd you say?
I was saying, what was your role?
I'm the anchor.
Okay.
So I'm just so excited to be a part of the team, and I just want to thank everybody and all of our new producers because this is something they never did before. Even our camera people like Terrain and stuff, even though he doesn't really do anything on the camera.
What? Wait, what line? You're not this minute, show out. What line? You're not this minute,
show out. Shout out for us for getting our first live show out the way, and shout out to you guys because y'all are always here to support and love us. And yeah.
Very good. Alrighty, guys. Thank y'all for listening to another installment of Millennials in Motion. Make sure to stay tapped in, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
Yeah.
Bye.